Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. I'm Paul Angelonis, and I'm joined by Philippe Siragi here in the studio.
Yes.
Back from a month-long hiatus, it seems. It seems like forever since I've
the
been
two of
in
us together.
We haven't
been together in a long time.
We haven't. Yes. So I'm excited about today. It's going to be an awesome conversation.
Yes.
But how have you been over the last month?
Well, I survived your absence. I was okay. Yeah. I did have to take my medication because my doctor was not happy with my attitude, because I think you keep me in check, apparently. Jehu was not, you know, able to keep me in check, so they had to call in some backup. But
I'm sorry.
Other than that, I'm fine.
I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah, I know he had to go through that. I'm fine.
Jehu, I'm sorry.
I didn't see anything. I didn't have any problem. I was fine.
Yeah,
I told you I would mention Jehu right away, and none of you saw that coming.
It's like, true. I feel like we always talk about Jehu. He's part of the show.
I feel like we should talk about Jehu.
We got to give him a microphone and
at some point he needs to be able to answer our jokes.
Exactly.
Maybe he doesn't like it and he doesn't want to say it. You know, maybe he doesn't. Well, there you go. That's his response.
The crickets versus the applause.
He's waiting for us to move on. Well, I guess.
No. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
so,
I mean,
this is a good week.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Yes.
Here with you and conversing about the Word of God, and this week we're talking about living by the Word of God.
A great topic,
an incredible topic, really, to kind of think about the importance of the Bible and how we apply the Bible in our lives. That's obviously what this show is centered around, what the Word of God says and how we can utilize it and see it in our lives and apply it in our lives. And today our topic is to talk about meditation and memorization of Scripture. Yesterday, Pastor Roger and Lizzie, they were talking about hearing the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And today we're taking another step in talking about memorization and meditation.
Yes.
And I think that's a big part. Psalm 1 talks about the importance of that and it blessing our lives by meditating on Scripture.
Yes.
But you want to open it up and share something about meditation, memorization, just in general?
Well, yeah, I think before we do, I think the idea is like the dialogue. I like the theme of the week, like living by the Word. And I think it's interesting, like, you know, just for the sake of the conversation, I think we can look at three things that God has given us, right? And when you look at those three things that God has given us, and that we cannot live without, unless we want to live our Christian life the natural way. But God has given us the Word of God. Mm. He has given us the Holy Spirit. And He has given us fellowship, which is the church. Mm. And I think those three things that God has given us are the crucial elements of us walking in Christian life the way God intended it. And for the main reason is because our thoughts, my thoughts are not your thoughts, Isaiah 55, right? 11, I mean, 8 through 11. And when you look at all this, you know, and then at the end, he says the solution for verse 8 and 9 is verse 11, which is my words does not return to me void. So my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, but I fixed it. I'm giving you the Word. So when we talk about living by the Word, it's the only way for us as Christians to actually think with God.
Hmm.
Because if I can be saved and if I don't think with God, I do not live the Christian life. And then number two is the Holy Spirit. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because you and I, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, we cannot understand the spiritual things without the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you and I, I've been a Christian for 30 years plus, can I understand the Scriptures the way God intended them to be understood without the Holy Spirit after 30 years and after 3 or 4 degrees in theology? The answer is no. Because I can read Scriptures, I can rationalize what I understand, I can reason on what I'm reading, but I cannot understand the depth of the meaning of the Word of God without the Holy Spirit. And number three, God gave us the fellowship, which is the church, because we get discouraged all the time. And that's how we keep each other in the faith, accountable in when we need to, and also encourage when we need to. So a week like this one is not just, of course, the Christian read the Word. It's just like it's taking the week to slow down and pause for a moment and realize, okay, how important is Scripture in my life? That's what we're asking. And yesterday, hearing it is important. So go to church, meditate, reading, listen to it, whatever you had, of course. And then, and now we're saying, okay, guys, let's move on from hearing it and do a little more.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say about meditating and memorizing? And the Bible does say something about it. So I'm just putting things in context because I think it's important to understand that we're trying to help each other realize that without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can understand scriptures. And without scriptures, we cannot have God's thoughts. It is impossible.
Yeah.
Right.
That's such an important thing to consider, those three aspects that you're talking about, the things that make up our Christian life, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the fellowship we have in the body of Christ as members in particular. Mm-hmm. And you referenced 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. And
yes,
we actually talked about this last night in our Bible college class, but it says 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, excuse me, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by him. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And it talks later on about without the Spirit of God, some of the things that are expressed in the Word of God are foolishness. And we see that in our culture. We see that throughout history where hearing what the Bible says or people believing in the Bible says and others looking at that and saying, you're silly to believe that. You know, this is foolishness because the Spirit hasn't revealed those things to them. And additionally, without the Word of God, without God and seeing the Bible as his Word, there's an emptiness that exists in a person's life because they are looking for something, but there's something missing in that. Like I could read the Bible as a historical literature or poetry or a song, but without the Spirit impacting my life through that, then it is empty. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get the same things out of it as I would if I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me and teaching me and showing me the truths that are there. No matter how many times I read it, no matter what interpretation, and there are people who have read the Bible cover to cover and they'll admit that and they'll say, I haven't gotten anything out of it because what was their heart attitude towards it? It was just another book. And I'm just, in some ways, maybe there's confirmation bias trying to prove somebody wrong that it's just a book and nothing more. But I think the reality of God in the world that we live in, showing us that it's more than just a book, it's more than just words on a page, but it's a life-giving Spirit that's inside of us that helps us to be able to see those things that are not explainable, that things that eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard. Mm-hmm. We have those things. We have this world, this universe that we live in, and some limit their lives to what they can see and explain, but it's the reality is there's more than what we can see and explain or hear or touch or taste. There's more to that, and God is revealing it to us in his Scripture and revealing it through his Spirit so that we can be drawn closer to him. And I think that's what really meditation and memorization is a step in that direction of how am I getting to know God more and more through his Scripture. I'm reading it, but what's the next step of reading it is that meditation, memorization of the Scripture so that I can have more of an impact and have me drawn closer to him.
Yeah, I think it's just what comes to mind, you know, a few years ago, actually I was in Fetter Hill where you minister, and I did the message. It was maybe 3 years ago in July or something, and my thoughts was, I did some research and the numbers vary, but what's astonishing is how big the numbers are, regardless of what the studies show, but it's how many thoughts we have per day and how many decisions we make per day. So the average that I got out of that, and you can Google it, sometimes you have less, but it's we think it may be a few hundred thoughts and everything. The numbers that I remember is 60,000 thoughts per day and 30,000 decisions per day. This is huge, and I'm going somewhere with this, but the point being is that, number one, it means that I am the one that speaks to myself the most.
Yeah.
Not even my wife, not even anything. So I'm. What am I saying to myself?
Yes.
What do I recall? How much of the word of God is in my thoughts, how much is the Holy Spirit using what I know from scriptures to weigh in into the situations, you know, making decisions. So that's what we're talking about. Okay, we are filled with thoughts and decisions every single day. So, of course, when it comes down to 30,000 decisions, most people look at me and say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And of course, many of them are trivial decisions. Like if you go to, I'm not going to give it a name of the brand. If you go to a coffee shop, you know, they're going to ask you a few things. You know, first thing is it for here to go? You know, and then you want a cup and a mug. Do you want, you know, you want
cream or
no cream? If you want cream, you know, lactose free, not lactose free. Do you want an espresso, double espresso? So you don't realize you just made 20 decisions, you know, just by ordering coffee, which is complex city of the West, actually, nobody cares about, you know, just that's
over-complicated.
Us.
Overcomplicated.
But we are making a lot of decisions. So these ones, do I need the Holy Spirit to guide me in deciding whether I want sweetener or sugar or I don't.
Yeah.
But there is many of those 30,000 decisions that are actually life impacting in many ways. In my relationship, my marriage, if you have kids, you know, and decisions about church. And so in these 60,000 thoughts per day, or, you know, even if we bring it out to 30, let's say we divide by 6, 10,000 thoughts, but how many of those thoughts are going to be God's thoughts? I don't know. You know, and the point that we are discussing today is that's exactly why it is important for us to stop and meditate and memorize scriptures. Because my soul clings to the dust in Psalm 119. So when I wake up in the morning, I don't wake up automatically having great thoughts from God. You know, it's like my soul clings to the dust. So when we say it is important to hear the word of God, to meditate, to memorize scriptures, what we're saying is we are swimming against the current. I'm flooded with thoughts all the times. And actually, I have to swim against the current to get God's thoughts. It does not come naturally, even more so as we read in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. The natural man does not understand the things of God. So not only my thoughts are not his thoughts, but then I can't figure out God's thoughts on my own. So I'm leaving. It's like I'm running the race 100 meter dash against Usain Bolt, and I'm standing in the seat somewhere up in the stadium. What are my chances of winning?
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
So
naturally, and it, of course, we're not saying, oh, that's, you know, because we're incapable of anything. We are capable of a lot of things, but we're not capable of thinking God's thoughts without him showing it what they mean. So when we're discussing the word of God, meditation, memorizing, that's what's at stake, right?
Yeah. I mean, the number of things that are trying to occupy our thoughts and our minds.
Yes.
Especially in the information age that we live in now,
is
incredible. And for us to think that that's not a factor in us, in our walk of faith, in our life is naive, and it's just not smart.
Yes.
Because there are things that are trying to make us think about things that are not godly, things that are not Philippians 4, you know, but the things that are true, the things that are kind, the things that are a good report. There are things that are lies. There are things that are not kind. There are things that are not of good report, that are biding for our time, and in some ways are coming at us in waves and waves and waves. And we carry our device around in our pocket that is the access to those things at any time that we need to, or we have the devices, the television in our homes or computers or whatever it is that are flooding our minds with those same thoughts. And I think, like you said, those thoughts that we are thinking, how many of them are God's thoughts, and how much are we reiterating thoughts that aren't of God in our own minds, and seeing them impact our lives, and not knowing that we are actually the ones that are perpetuating those same negative thoughts and those negative things. I couldn't help but think of this book that I read called Soundtracks by an author. His name's John Acuff, I think, and he talks about the soundtracks that we play in our minds in these thoughts. And in the same way that we're talking about meditation and memorization, we all have a soundtrack in our life that things that are reiterated, whether from the things that we've read, things that have been said to us, things that we impose on ourselves, thoughts that we think maybe from our childhood or from just the culture we live in or whatever. And we live by these soundtracks. We live by these things that continually make us think a certain way about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the only way to change those is to ask questions of those thoughts that we're thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the questions that we could say, is this thought a thought that's of God?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, or thinking like, are these things that I'm thinking of myself true? Are these things kind? Are they helpful for me? Are they God's thoughts towards me?
Yes.
And the only way for me to find God's thoughts towards me, yeah. or the only way to find if it's true, if I'm reiterating to myself that I am hopeless and meaningless and nobody cares about me, mm-hmm. where do I go in order to find the answer to that question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I go to my social media to see how many likes I got on my last post in order to determine how valuable I am and who cares about me and who loves me? Do I go to a relationship where it's a transactional type of relationship where they love me and I love them in return and it's a give and take type of relationship? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to somewhere where there's something outside of that realm of influence or that set of standards to God where he says and he tells me that he cares about me. Mm-hmm. And in 1 John 4:9, he demonstrates that he loves me and cares about me by sending his son to die for me. So I think that we can get caught up in this feedback loop in our own minds of negativity, mm-hmm. of the culture imposing things, seeing images, seeing different reference points, comparing ourselves with other people, comparing our thoughts with the things that we've thought of. And we can get caught in that never-ending loop and feel like we have no way out. But what we're saying today is that there is a way out. There is a way to change the way that I think about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not by finding people that agree with me
mm-hmm.
about what I think about myself.
Yeah.
But it's actually in going to the source of truth, going to the word of God and seeing what God says about me. I was made in his image and his likeness. I am valuable. Mm-hmm. I have a purpose. I'm the apple of his eye. We have a meaning, we have a purpose, and the Bible reiterates that to us, and we can read and hear the word of God, but then we also can meditate on it and memorize it so that when I have those negative thoughts, when I get caught in that feedback loop again, I can say, I know the thoughts you think of me,
mm-hmm.
you know, thoughts that give me an expected end, thought, you know, that you care about me, that you love me, that yes, maybe I make mistakes, but you are greater. God is greater and the work that he's done is greater. And mm-hmm. that helps us to not get caught in that downward spiral, but to be actually able to withstand those thoughts and change those thoughts about ourselves so that we can move forward in what God says is true about us and mm-hmm. draw closer to him and then continue in that, right? That meditation and memorization, I think, is the key to us to have those thoughts that God thinks about us and to reiterate those things mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. ourselves in the midst of the waves and waves and waves of natural thinking that comes at us, especially in our culture today.
Yeah, I mean, you said so many important things. I'm trying to. I took some notes and words just to remember because I think they need to be reiterated. Maybe so. First thing that comes to mind is the idea of decay. You know, like my soul clings to the dust, and I have to embrace the fact that naturally I'm not going to get out of my miserable, you know, mindset without. Yeah. You know, there's no positive thinking. Life coach that are going to help me mm-hmm. at some point. I'm just going to go back to my old ways because that's what I do. And that's what we do all the time. So, and basically because I think positive thinking is just one way to scam myself out of my real condition. Mm. The beauty of the word is that God is not telling us, no, you're fine. God is telling us, no, you stink.
Yeah.
You really stink. Is I 1:5, you know, you're from the head to the toe. You stink. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. No, you stink. Your heart is completely stinks, you know. So that's not even, it's not trying to me fix my, because I can lie to myself.
Yeah.
That's very easy. I can lie to myself. God is not lying to us. It's no, you guys stink.
Yeah.
So much so that you're so stinking that there's no way you can save yourself.
Yeah.
Impossible. So God, he sent his son and we're saved through him. Now, once this has been dealt with, because salvation is not just dying, Jesus dying on the cross, it solves every aspect of our relationship with God that was broken. Mm. You know, God reconciled us with God through propitiation through his blood. So the whole sacrifice of Christ makes total sense, theologically, intellectually, in our relationship with God. So this is taken care of. Now, you're not your sin. You know, if you look at the process from Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, mm-hmm. Paul is explaining exactly what we're talking about. So now that this is taken care of, you're not the greatest guy on the planet, but you're loved by God. Yeah. You're a sinner, but where sin abound, grace much more abound. Romans 5:20. And then at the end of the day, you stink, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Mm. That's where we are. So why is there no condemnation? Because somebody else paid for my sins.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking, can I think of myself differently than when my decaying emotions would dictate to me? Like, I'm asking myself the questions, what would I believe the most? My life coach, who's trying to lie to me long enough so I would believe it? Or my savior, who tells me what I really am in the flesh and how he dealt with it, and how I can move on and be... And because the point is, the Bible says our minds can be renewed in Romans 12:2, but our hearts cannot be renewed. Ezekiel 36:26. He gives us a new heart.
Yeah.
So now there's a new man clothed with Christ. So all this makes all sense now. That my thoughts, my decaying thoughts, my emotions, that loop you were talking about, can be defeated because it makes sense. Nobody's excusing my sin or my flesh. It's been paid for.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about someone, like let's say you and I would go around, we'd meet two people, one guy who murdered someone who got out, who got away with murder, and the other one who killed someone, and both of them were manslaughter. They didn't mean it. The guy didn't go to prison because he and this guy did 20 years in prison and comes out of prison. Which one do you think, in a way, when this says, I'm clear, would I believe? The guy who went to 20 years for prison because he did this time and he paid his debt to society. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in that way. He can build a relationship, a new life. Like, can he get married and have kids and be left alone? Yes, he can. This guy is still pending. One day somebody will discover what I did. I'm going to end up in prison, And maybe I had to tamper with evidence because I didn't come clean, all kinds of things. He may end up for the rest of his life in prison. And they did the same thing. And I think it's what we're talking about. I mean, my illustrations are all over the place, but my point really is, as my soul decays and my emotions give me the wrong idea of who I am, then when Jesus comes in and tells me who I am through his word, his truth, and me meditating and memorizing scriptures, this is truth.
Yeah.
This is not a positive thinking.
Yeah.
This is not trying to find a way out of my condition by lying to myself.
Yeah.
I don't go to the doctors. I don't know if you've seen that maybe 8-10 years ago. I saw there's this ad on 95 South going towards the city. This huge, and it says so many, I don't know, 100,000 or 200,000, I don't know, a million, I don't remember the numbers, of men will die of stubbornness. And the ad was about the fact that most men don't go to the doctor when they have cardiovascular issues. So they die of heart attacks, of things. It's not because they couldn't be helped, because they deny the truth. So this would be what we're talking about, trying to have my way out of my own meditation of trying to convince myself that I'm a good person. But if I'm humble enough, I will go, like I have, I have some form of insurance that allows me to have a free checkup every year. I go every single year. And I have been for the last 7 years. I don't have any problem. Why would I still go? Because it's better. It's wiser for me to do this. And my wife wants me to go because she wants me around in 20 years. You've got even little Terry's. So the whole point being, let's face it. Meditation will tell us two things. I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. And that's how valuable I am.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's an important
thing. That was a long message, but
no, it's great because the reality is like
Jehu slept, he fell asleep.
Recognizing that we are wicked, that we are by nature, we are evil, that we are we aren't good. And Psalm 1, I think, is a good verse to kind of, it has this comparison between the blessed and the wicked. And in the meditation, it also includes the meditation concept that we're talking about today also. So in Psalm 1, starting in verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, right? So this is like the onslaught of the natural thinking, the culture coming against us, the counsel of the wicked, the way of sinners, the seat of scoffers. How can I meditate, or how can I live my life and expect to have positive thinking, or to have a life where I feel fulfilled or free or have peace, as opposed to guilt, fear, and shame when I'm just listening to wicked counsel, I'm hanging around with sinners and I'm sitting in the seat of scoffers, people who are just trying to come at me and talk about the things that I'm doing. But in verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Yep. And on his law, he meditates day and night. So it talks, the blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. And on his law, law he meditates day and night. Talks about being a tree planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. All that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not slow, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. So, like, what do we want our life to be? Like, is the question that, do we want our life to be blessed, or do we want our life to not be blessed, to be cursed? Like, the opposite of being blessed is cursed. And we are, the wages of sin is death, right? Our lives are, we're not perfect. We are imperfect people. We are sinners. And do we want to live in the curse of sin as slaves to sin, or do we want to live with a blessing from God where we are now slaves to righteousness, where we have a righteousness in us that is given to us by God, given to us by what Christ has done? But this meditation on the law of the Lord helps us to recognize those things that are the wicked thoughts, the way of sinners, the scoffers, and we can be like a tree planted by the river that is continuously being replenished, being refreshed with the word of God. I like to think of that as that illustration is we are standing in a river, and the thing that makes a river different from like a pond or from the Dead Sea, let's just say, is that the water is always flowing and the water is always different. If I go to the river today, it's going to be water. If I go tomorrow, there's going to be water, but it's not the same water because the water is always flowing.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm going to the same place, but I'm actually going to, it's different every time I go to. And I think of that in meditation of scripture, is that I go to the same place. Yeah. I go to John 3:16 and I read the same scripture, but each time I'm going to it, it's different water. Yeah. And that water, the Holy Spirit, the water is used as an illustration for the Holy Spirit and for us to apply those things. The Spirit can reveal something different to me each time I go to the scripture. And that can be an amazing blessing, an amazing provision, an amazing, like an exciting thing for us, like, what's the Lord going to reveal to me? As opposed to the inverse, which would be that I go to the scripture and I just read the scripture and I know what it says and I just read, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, blah, blah, blah. And I've memorized it, but it has no meaning. And that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking, you know, just memorizing it for the sake of memorizing it so I can quote scripture, I can say something, but so that I can have the Spirit be revealing something to me each time I'm going through it. And just because I've read something and I know what the Bible says doesn't mean that it's worthless for me to go and read it again and to learn it again and to discover something new or something different. Because each time I come to the river changes, but maybe I'm also changing as I'm coming to the river. Like, I'm not saying that the word of God changes itself, but the way that I'm seeing it, the way that I am experiencing it, the way the Spirit is communicating it to me can be different. And me, my vision, my perspective of that same river of the word of God can be different too. If I have gone through a situation, losing a loved one or losing a job or having a child or some amazing thing, I go to the word of God and it's a different experience each time then as well. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about meditating, going through the Greek word is meletao for meditate, and it says to take care of and to revolve in your mind, like to go over and over and over again. And in Psalm 119, it talks about the statutes and the law and the precepts and all these different things and the importance of those things in order for us to go over them over so that I am not so that just I know them, but so that I can draw closer to the one who said those things, the one who is communicating those, his thoughts to us so that we can be conformed to his image and his likeness, which is like our goal and the fullness of what our life is meant to be about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing when you think about, you know, you said, you talk about recall and the Holy Spirit, John 14:26, right? I put the verse over here. I just want to make sure it's the right verse. But John 14:26, I'm going to flip the pages of my iPhone here. when the Holy Spirit's ministry really has a direct role with scriptures, and we see that in John 16 and in John 14, is two roles. Number one is the idea of guiding us through the truth, and the other one is the Holy Spirit is the helper, 26, whom the Father will send my name. He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you. One of the idea of, because what we, you and I were talking before the show today, and we were saying, well, memorizing scripture is not something that is required just because. It's a recall issue. It's like, you know, if I'm not, you know, like, you know, if I'm not thinking things over and over again, because I am, let me back up for a second. Am I looping into thinking and rehearsing things over and over in my head all the time? Mm-hmm. The question is, which is going to be revolving in my head?
Yeah.
My thoughts are revolving doors. When I go through something, and that's why we lose sleep over things. Hmm. I go to bed, you know, it's like, oh my God, you know, it's like something. I don't lose sleep easily at all. Like, I sleep really well. But lately, I have a friend of mine who's going through something very difficult. And someone adds wood to the fire. And that gave me so much anger. Like, why would you do that? You're destroying something here that is so important, valuable. And two, number one, if I were you, I'd be so afraid of God. Hmm. What you're doing is dangerous. You're doing something against God and you don't even realize it. And if you do realize it, I hope that you're going to be scared enough to go and repent. But then I'm thinking, here I am. And it happens to me once every 2 years. I sleep really well. I don't have any problem. I don't have insomnia and I couldn't sleep for 2 or 3 hours. Hmm. And what I realized, because I was rehearsing something in my mind that I was broken hearted because of what he goes through, but also angry. And anger is not justified. I'm not God. I can have anger, which is the righteous anger, but that does not prevent me to sleep.
Yeah.
So, and I think, and then realizing, and then it's first time in my life, I got to say something. I was this close to pray the imprecatory Psalms, you know, because I think this is fitting. And I told God, you know what you're doing. I'm not telling you what to do, but I mean, the point being, anyway, so we are rehashing thoughts all the time. So why don't we just rehearse instead of rehash? Rehearse the truth. What is God thinking about this? Because ultimately, I do believe that God's word is true. So whatever God says has to be true. So why would I just, you know, swim in the swamp of lies where I can actually have this fresh water you were talking about? Mm-hmm. And that's a big one. Really is a big one.
You think that we can have... We can think about the thoughts that God says similarly to the way that we think of other thoughts that we think, other information that we have. I think that we can fall into that. Maybe I would say it's a trap, but just like in our natural thinking, we consider the things of God similar to the way that we know 2 + 2 = 4, or that we know the history of our country or whatever it is. And we're just like, oh yeah, I know that. I know that this happened and this happened and this war happened and this is where this was written and this author wrote this book. And we can kind of lump what God says, what the Bible says about us into that same category, which it's beyond that, obviously. What God says supersedes any of those things. Yeah. But we can kind of, it can just file right in with that other, I put it on the bookshelf with the other thoughts that I think about everything in general. And I wonder why I can be anxious or can have sleepless nights or can be worried about different things when I'm classifying the things that God has said with the things that a human experience or the things that I know to be true about it. And I think that is, it takes some recognition of that in my life. Like, do I really believe what God says about me? Who is God in my life? What level is God? Do I place God? Are his thoughts as high as the heavens are above the earth in my mind? And if I have some question about that, then maybe I need to go to him and ask him to help me in that and help the Spirit to reveal, like, the truth about those things, that these thoughts that he's thinking, his sovereignty, his omniscience, his omnipotence, all these things that make him God need to be reiterated in my mind so that I can relate to his scripture in an appropriate way. Because if I don't have the right level or put him in the right place in my life in general, then when I go to his word and try to meditate on it or memorize it or apply it and break out of this feedback loop, it's not going to be affected because I've lumped it in with all the other thoughts that I'm thinking, and it could just easily be replaced by all those things. But it's interesting in the Old Testament, when the Israelites are going through the wilderness, there is this reiteration or this memorization that's commanded by God in order for them to be able to relate to him. And in Deuteronomy 11:18, it says, lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, when you are walking by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this that I command you, loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and holding fast to him, that the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations. Like those things, the do I do those things, where I am reiterating, where I am meditating, where I'm keeping the things that God has said about me as signs on my hand or frontlets in my eyes, things that I'm reminding myself of day by day by day by day. And if I'm not, then why am I wondering why I have trouble thinking the being in this feedback loop when I have nothing to disrupt that? We can, you know, whether it's familiarity or whether it's we feel like we've heard the same things over and over again. And I think that can happen where you become numb to the words that the Bible says, especially in a situation where you've been a part of a ministry or grown up in a church, or you have words that are being said and lives that don't represent the words that are being said, that can negatively impact the way that you view scripture, whether, you know, it's a meaning, whether that happens because of a situation or a trauma or whatever, or just because of a lifestyle or any of those things. We definitely have to recognize those areas in our lives where we have a misconception about what the Bible says because of the way it was communicated to us or our experiences. But in Joshua chapter 1, it also talks about the importance of having the word of God. It says, this book of the law should, in verse 8 of Joshua 1, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success, right? And I think we could take that verse to say, yeah, if you listen to what the Bible says, you'll have success, right?
Yeah.
If you read it, if depending on how you're, where you are in your life, well, all you got to do is just read the Bible, and you'll be successful in your life. And what that success looks like and what you expect that to be like. Am I going to have a really nice house and have $1 million and be able to do whatever I want? Maybe the success that this is talking about is in eternity, not necessarily in your natural experiences. And we're talking about going into the promised land in these two references that I just talked about. But the importance of scripture helping me to recognize and relate to the person who is speaking, who has given those words, is the importance of this, so that when I go into these places, when I go into the culture that I live in, to my workplace, to the grocery store, to the gas station, that I know what I am thinking, I know what the Bible is saying about me, and I know how to react and respond in every different situation, not just because I can quote a scripture that can apply to a situation, but because I have the Holy Spirit that is making that scripture real in my life, and I'm telling them because I know that this is what the Bible says, and I know because I am experiencing the peace and the freedom as a result of it, not just because this is what my pastor told me and that's what I believe, and I memorize a scripture and I just reiterate it every time, and it makes me think about something different, and I can move on from it in that way, as opposed to getting actual real relief or real deliverance from whatever that situation may be.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about this, what we're seeing, what are we seeing really, is like knowing scriptures allow us not to be tossed to and fro. Ephesians 4:14, I put it here. So he's giving us, ministries in the church, so we wouldn't be, verse 14, verse 11, the equipping the saints, verse 12, equipping the saints, the work in the ministry, and it goes on, that we shouldn't be no longer the children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. The point being is recall works every single time. Like, I'm thinking, okay, you also a referee for basketball.
Yes.
Right? So when somebody debates the rules with you, what allows you to make a final claim is because you know the rules. Mm-hmm. You know the rules because you memorize them.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, well, yeah, this is not, well, Article 3, blah, 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 says this. So you are done. Mm-hmm. So the point being is you cannot be waived in your refereeing by someone who comes up to you because he's mad that you're making a call because you know what the truth is. Mm-hmm. It works with everything else. When I drive my car, I just don't have to remember, where's the manual? How do I stop this thing? Mm-hmm. You know, so everything we do is out of memory. So in our life, it's the same thing. So when I'm not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine out there, which is exactly what happens in the evangelical church, there's so many trends. There's a new trend every 5 years, and we just go with it, and then we go to the other one, go to the other one. If I know scriptures by memorizing and meditating and being led by the Holy Spirit to understand what they are, that means at the end of the day, I am not easily tossed to and fro. So it's true for doctrine. It's true for my own mind as well. Mm-hmm. I don't have to wake up every morning and wonder, oh, does God love me today again? I have to, you know, I know what the Bible says. Now, do I really believe it in my emotions? That's a different story.
Sure.
But at least I know enough of scriptures to realize that what I'm hearing in my mind is not what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And that memorizations and memorizations allow me to recall, and meditating allow me to reroute my thinking. That would be maybe the tools we could use. The memorization allows recall, and meditating allows rerouting. Mm. You know, if I don't memorize, I can recall, and when I do memorize, if I don't meditate, I can rewrite my thinking. And I think this is what we've been saying. Because this verse comes to it's top of my list here of the verses. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart. I love the word stored up. Like it's piling up. Like it's not in my Bible, not in my phone, but in my mind. I store it in my heart. And I think this is what we're talking about. I'm letting the word of God do its work in my life. So when something comes up, I can get the word out of a storage. Mm-hmm. And I'm not because I need it in the moment, because I'm meditating. And when I'm meditating, thoughts collide. And then I would hope that my memorization and my meditation will allow me to let God, you know, transform my mind at this point, right?
Yeah, that stored up the recall, the word of God being stored in our minds is definitely. But then there's the renewal of the mind as well, where we are getting more clarity. The blurry picture is becoming more sharp. As we learn more about who God is, we, you know, maybe people that are listening are having trouble memorizing or having trouble reading scripture just in general because of the I heard it, you know, when you tell somebody to read the Bible, where should I start? You know, what should I do? Maybe you're having trouble in those things. And as we are looking at the Bible, as we are meditating on it, you know, going over it again and again and again, frontwards and backwards, there are definitely a lot of resources available to learn more about not only what the Bible says in English, but to go to the original languages to see what it is saying in French, the original language it was written in, and to go backwards and forwards and seeing patterns and seeing pictures and seeing all these different things that, you know, our deeper levels of understanding what the Bible says. And I think that's such a resource, such something that's so important for us to continuing to seek out and to learn. And there's like the hyperlinks and the different things that exist within the Old Testament and the New Testament and all the different references. Yeah. There's so much true scripture that we'll never get to the bottom of everything that it says. And that's not something that we throw our hands up and say, well, why even try? But it's something that we continue to dive into, to learn more, to store up more of it so that we have something to draw from when we go through a situation or when somebody asks us how to handle something. Not that we are saying, well, I'm so glad you asked because I've been waiting for this moment to tell you what the Bible says about it, but so that I can be with them and encouraging them in the fellowship that you were saying at the first, you know, we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit, and then the fellowship in the Scripture, the fellowship in what the Bible says and what I've been meditating on and what you've been meditating on. Mm-hmm. And that between us is such an amazing representation of this unity of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think a picture of like the unity within God himself in the Trinity is that we're able to communicate into the depths of what the Word of God says so that we can have something to say, mm-hmm. something in our minds that we can think that can get us out of those feedback loops, help us to withstand those, mm-hmm. the onslaught or the waves and waves of information that's coming at us from the culture and from the world, so that we can have, you know, instead of guilt, fear, and shame, have life and mm-hmm. peace and joy, so that we can glorify God, which is like the purpose, as we said in Colossians chapter 3, like in everything that we do, we want to glorify him. Mm-hmm. We want to memorize scripture and to glorify him, not to glorify ourselves. We want to not have just vain repetitions of scripture or in prayer. And then we want to meditate on the scripture so that we can glorify him and get to know him more and more yeah. as we walk by faith.
Amen. Wow.
Amen.
Well, thank you guys for all these comments. Yeah. Daphne, Melissa, Andy, who, I don't know, can we scroll back up?
So many.
Yes, so thank you. So many verses, Romans 10, 9 through 11, 1 Peter 1, 13, Psalm 34, verse 2, and I cannot see the other ones because there's so many of those, but thank you guys for participating. Yeah. We appreciate that. Yeah. Well, and there's more. Verse 2
thank
now.
Keep coming.
Yeah, thanks, coming. Melissa. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you for joining us today, listening wherever you go. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all the different places. And be sure to follow along as we talk about living by the Word of God the rest of this week.